Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Middle of the week, it's a Wednesday, April 17th. Thank you so much for tuning in to EWTN. Great show for you today. We always try to bring you topics that are interesting and keep you connected to the faith, hence the name of the program. Catholic Connection coming up after the news, and there's a ton of it, never a dull moment, as I say. My friend Chuck Gatica, a media personality from Detroit, still a media personality, but retired from the local NBC affiliate where he was the top meteorologist, but also he did a lot of general street reporting and a lot of live events and just much loved in our area and beyond. He's now concentrating on his faith life because he's a revert to the Catholic faith. You've seen him, for example, on At Home with Jim and Joy not too long ago, two episodes. He also now serves as a health and wellness speaker and coach, and he wrote me the other day and said, hey, T, check the article. And there is a very strong suggestion in this piece that there's a connection, go figure, between mental health issues and diminished church attendance. So we're going to discuss that with Chuck. That's coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. And then, of course, it is a Wednesday, so that means we go to the lovely, ever-fescent, wonderful Joni, as I call her, Joan Lewis with Joan's Rome, also a part of the wonderful program At Home with Jim and Joy. So what's going on weather-wise? Well, apparently we still have some storms to deal with today, and unfortunately, because severe thunderstorms still on the horizon, the National Weather Service says scattered and severe thunderstorms are possible this afternoon and this evening, and this will occur from southern lower Michigan into parts of the Midwest Ohio Valley. And then we have a big cold front that's sweeping across a north central U.S. that will bring additional heavy snow along the mountains and foothills of the northern Rockies, and that will occur through tomorrow. So there's a brief summary of the weather for you across the nation. Right now, it's about 2 minutes past the hour. We need to get to the news quickly because there's so much of it, and we want to share it with you. So let's get started. It is a Wednesday morning, and you're listening to EWTN. Well, the Biden administration's Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC, set to change federal regulations regarding pregnant workers' fairness to mandate employers make reasonable accommodations, including granting leave for workers to obtain abortions. Catholic News Agency reporting that new rule, which is set to take effect 60 days from its publication on April 19th, is part of the commission's efforts to implement the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. That's according to a final EEOC rule change announcement. The final rule, CNA reports, expands the scope of accommodations that employers must make for pregnancy, childbirth, or related medical conditions to also include workers' decisions about having or choosing not to have an abortion. The rule applies to all public and private employers with 15 or more workers. The Pope says our ability to master ourselves and moderate our passions can lead us toward true happiness. The Pope offering this reminder during his weekly general audience today in St. Peter's Square. This week, the Holy Father continuing his catechetical series on vices and virtues. After months dedicated to the vices, he then transitioned to discussing virtues, so far focusing on prudence, patience, justice, fortitude, and now temperance. Anti-Semitic incidents in New York State are soaring to record levels. The Anti-Defamation League says there were more than 1,200 reports of assault, harassment, and vandalism targeting Jewish people last year. That's a surge of 110%. And they say that's the highest number ever recorded by ADL in the state and more than double the previous record reached in 2022. Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee planning to propose new legislative action that would threaten to cut National Public Radio's federal funding, and if passed, prompted by the news that it suspended an editor who went viral for exposing the outlet's partisan uniformity in its newsroom. According to Fox News Digital, the Tennessee Republican is weighing a variety of legislative options to take on federal funding that goes to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB, that provides funding to NPR in the form of grants, and she is specifically looking to prevent NPR from benefiting from public funds due to what her office characterized as left-wing bias. She says taxpayers fund NPR, and it should be a source that provides a truly neutral and balanced perspective that can only be achieved through political diverse staff. Otherwise, it's nothing more than a propaganda machine for the Democratic Party. The House has sent the Senate articles of impeachment for the head of Homeland Security, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, eager, he says, for a trial to begin because he wants Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas out of a job.
Alejandro Mayorkas actively aided the criminal invasion of this country by criminal drug cartels and illegal aliens.
Today, the Senate is likely to swear in their members as jurors. A majority leader will try to end the trial as quickly as it starts, and he could have the votes. The secretary is not required to appear before the Senate as a defendant. A Texas lawman says a surge in illegal immigration can be directly linked to the drug problems his community is facing. Sheriff Bill Wayborn says the cartels are forcing their victims work off their smuggling debts by selling fentanyl on the streets for as little as $8 a pill.
They literally had cages in the houses where they were keeping women. They were waiting to pay off their debts.
He told Congress that more must be done to secure the border. In Florida, local ceremonies are marking the 63rd anniversary of the Bay of Pigs invasion, the failed CIA-sponsored military operation to overthrow Fidel Castro in Cuba. Dr. Andy Gomez is an expert on Cuba and says it's a sad day in history for the courageous volunteers who sacrificed everything for freedom.
Some of them were young teenagers that never saw a free Cuba, which is what they were fighting for.
The anniversary comes as Cuba and the U.S. are in high-level migration talks in Washington. Cuba is asking the U.S. to ease sanctions and end special treatment of Cubans illegally entering its territory. The communist island is facing a severe economic crisis with food, water, and power shortages. A veteran Boeing engineer and whistleblower is set to testify before a congressional committee today. Sam Salimpour telling NBC News he became alarmed about the production of the Boeing 787 Dreamliner and raised concerns to his superiors.
I think it's as serious as I have ever seen in my lifetime.
The allegations following an incident in January when a door plug fell off a Boeing plane mid-flight. Boeing has insisted that the claims are inaccurate and the 787 is safe. Social media platforms are not inherently suitable for youth, say top psychologists, and tech companies and lawmakers need to do more to protect kids' mental health. That's according to the American Psychological Association, saying yesterday that endless scrolling and push notifications are especially risky for young people whose brains are still developing.
Instead of liking yourself, it's how much everybody likes you.
That's one mom who recently talked about social media's impact on her children. They're not as capable of pulling back from addictive experiences, she says. A report also says social media can affect schoolwork and sleep. Social media companies such as Meta, the parent of Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, say they've been working to protect. Mark Zuckerberg, meanwhile, his request to dismiss lawsuits about children and online addiction is being granted. A U.S. district judge ruling in favor of excusing the Meta CEO from being held liable for his platforms, allegedly fueling social media addiction. However, the case against the company, which owns Facebook, still stands. Lawsuits filed against Meta claim the features Facebook and Instagram use, tactics that are designed to addict children. And it's only April, but the operators of the Texas power grid are already talking about a possible emergency. They're asking power plants to put off scheduled maintenance, which experts say is a risky proposition.
If we don't take these plants offline right now for maintenance, then they've got a greater tendency to break down during the summer.
That's Professor Ed Herz at the University of Houston, who says when maintenance was delayed last year, we saw more emergencies because the power generators were less reliable. The Electric Reliability Council says the crunch time will last through tomorrow. And at least two people are hurt after a tornado ripped through eastern Kansas. The National Weather Service says an EF1 tornado damaged several homes yesterday near Topeka, where two people were hurt when their camper blew over. Tornado damage was also reported in Iowa and Missouri. And a twister near Des Moines destroyed a barn with several horses inside. In Missouri, preliminary reports indicated a tornado also struck near Kansas City. Forecasters are warning that more tornadoes are possible across the north central U.S. today, as well as we mentioned in the weather, hail, wind, and heavy rain and thunderstorms. Phil Hewlett tells us that O.J. Simpson's executor of his estate is softening now his comments about whether the Goldman family will receive any money from Simpson's estate.
Simpson was acquitted of murdering his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman, but was later found liable for $33.5 million in a civil judgment. In an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, attorney Malcolm Laverne said Fred Goldman's claim will be accepted and handled in accordance with Nevada law. Last week, in an interview with the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Laverne said, "It's my hope that the Goldmans get zero. Nothing."
Finally, in our news segment at 11 minutes past the hour, now that you hopefully filed your taxes, you should be aware you have rights when it comes to dealing with the IRS. The Taxpayer Bill of Rights was adopted in 2014 and groups into 10 categories, rights that are detailed in the tax code. And while people may refer to the Bill of Rights to help navigate disputes with the IRS, there are other benefits. If you receive an audit, your Bill of Rights says you have 30 days to respond. You also have the right to get additional time to get your paperwork in order and potentially amend a return in case there was a mistake. So there you go. It is a Wednesday morning. It's April 17th, 2024. Appreciate your listenership to EWTN. Coming up next, I think this will be a really fruitful and interesting conversation with my friend and Catholic revert, Chuck Gatica. And he is also serving in addition to a speaker and his roles in the media. He's serving as a wellness coach and is very interested in the connection between faith and well-being. So he sent me this really interesting article regarding questioning, is there a connection between mental health issues and diminished church attendance? What do you think? We will find out after the break. Plus, of course, because it is a Wednesday, we have the lovely Joan Lewis with us with the updates from the Vatican. So stay tuned. More great Catholic programming coming your way. And don't forget, EWTN.com is the website. We'll be right back.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I don't like looking back. I prefer to look forward and keep moving forward. There's plenty to cover. I do a lot of research and try to dig out the bits and pieces of a life or an agenda that people don't want to talk about.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, Thursday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
The Encounter Conference, June 26th through the 28th at the New Glass City Center in Toledo, Ohio. 15 powerful speakers.
It is the encounter with the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus come alive and gives us the courage and the wisdom to go forth and to even risk our own lives.
Everyone pretty much says the miracles that Jesus did are real. The miracles that the early church did are real.
As often as the popes are talking about the new evangelization, they're also saying we need to pray for a new Pentecost. We need to return to the upper room. Encounter represents the church returning to the upper room. As we're coming boldly before God and asking Him to renew that Pentecostal fire for the strength, the gifts, and the wisdom to be able to preach Jesus to a lost and broken world so that we can become fully alive in Him, so that the world may come to believe that Jesus is the one whom God sent.
Register today at EncounterConference.org. That's EncounterConference.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence, and in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe, that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
15 minutes past the hour on a Wednesday morning, April 17th. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection, coast to coast and around the globe. EWTN and Ave Maria Radio produce this show. My friend Chuck Gatica, he and I go way, way back in the media. He is a very much loved media personality from the Detroit market, but also did reports for NBC. And he is an esteemed meteorologist and very well respected. But also, since retiring from his job at WDIV in Detroit, he decided, because of his interest in faith and health and wellness, that he wanted to do more to help people connect the dots in terms of the importance of our spiritual well-being being connected to our health. And so now he is certified as a health and wellness coach and sent me this interesting article with the big question, Chuck, being, is there a connection between mental health issues and diminished church attendance? I think the answer is yes. What say you? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. Teresa, I think it's the answer is yes, and I think this Harvard professor suggested many, many studies are showing that in this time of anxiousness and of depression and increasing suicide and so many mental health issues that we have, that this, you know, this issue of declining church attendance can directly be linked to the idea of a mental health crisis. I don't think it's a stretch. And I think that some of the studies that they cite, even in this article, and this just came out from a printed article that was called The Editors, and it's dated April 12th. So this is all recent data showing that there really is a connection of people who are not attending church any longer. They're self-identifying. They're literally saying, no, we haven't attended in the past week. And so what is happening? What has happened in America coming through COVID? We know it's a pandemic. We had to social distance. We can't touch. We can't hug. We couldn't go maybe to Mass. We couldn't have rituals like handshakes, Christmas trees, gatherings, you know, all the things that make us feel comfortable and harken back to what is the same, which I would suggest also helps us lead to change, are things that are giving us some anxiety in the world.
It really is, I think, important to examine, because you know this, and not only in your own journey, but if you look again at the evidence, there is a connection between the spirituality. We're not just bodies, nor are we just souls floating around, right? There is a connection between the spiritual and the physical.
Well, and I think, you know, as a wellness coach, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a trainer, I can't write a prescription. But if I could write a big RX for everybody, I would say, strongly consider, not if you're listening and you say, well, I attend church, I go to Mass maybe once a month or something. Well, maybe you increase that. Maybe you know someone who you could find this article or articles like it and forward it to them. Maybe that could also include a personal invitation, because just to send people data, you know, that works for some of us. If you're an engineer mind and you see something that's filled with blah, 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 and a lot of numbers and data, you're like, oh, this is my thing. But for some of us, it may be a personal invitation. And what's interesting in this article, they point out that when attending religious services, we tend to find a robust, that's the word you use, sense of self-worth. We can find a balance between that and humility. We can find something greater than self. And they also point out, it's an asterisk, but it's a really important thing. If you are going through a mental health or a physical health crisis, and you do attend a worship service, and you think that's going to cure you, well, of course, we know this is in God's time. So we've got to be careful that we don't tell everybody, well, rush to Mass, and that's going to change everything in your physical or mental health life. And when it doesn't happen immediately for you, you think, oh, man, see, I tried and it didn't work. That's not the point. The point is that there are some rituals, and when I use that word, I mean things in our lives that shouldn't change, that can help us embrace these practices of higher self-worth and humility and serving others that will bring, I think, greater peace and comfort to our lives.
Absolutely. Talking with Chuck Gatica, of course, he's a former meteorologist with Channel 4 in Detroit, a longtime colleague of mine. We have known each other for many years, but he also is a health and wellness coach and motivational speaker, recently featured also for two separate shows on At Home with Jim and Joy. Had a great time going down to EWTN for the very first time. So, Chuck, this is something that I talked about in my book, God's Bucket List, because there has been for a long time, and these are very recent studies that this article cited, but there's been a growing amount of evidence regarding the connection between health and spirituality.
Well, you know, church used to be the center of town. It used to be the place where we all gathered to see friends. And so over time, we're replacing that notion of attending Mass and seeing, you know, for me, it's funny. I was at Mass this past Sunday, And I just did a fist bump, not because of COVID. I just happened to do it with the usher. And I thought, you know, I don't even know this person because I happen to be visiting. I'm out of town right now. I don't really know this person. I have no background with this person. But I did a fist bump. We each gave each other a smile. And I thought that was a connection that literally made me feel good in the instant. Mm-hmm. And it was that small of a gesture. I'm not diminishing it. I'm actually elevating it and saying that for some of us, this can be a great thing. So, you know, to your point, and, you know, you pointed out in your book, as you mentioned, these studies are now showing that if we can get back to, and I think that's the question, how do you write these prescriptions to try to take us back to a place where we are elevating the notion of attending Mass and rituals and things that are the same and serving others? Where can you find one place where you have to get up out of bed? That by itself is a motivation. Mm-hmm. You have to get out the door, right? If someone has mental health issues and they're saying, oh, I just need to hunker down and stay in the house, you need to go gather with other people. And for some, that's a hard thing. Some people are introverted. Some like to sneak in and sneak out. I mean, we see it, you know, every right. Saturday night or Sunday. But at the same time, when you start doing it on a regular basis and it becomes one of your rituals, then all of a sudden you're finding, well, now wait a minute, the bulletin said there's a way to serve and pack 50,000 meals next Saturday. Maybe I should do that. Or there's a class I should attend. You know, so there are different things that appeal to different people. But I think this idea of gathering is so important in our lives.
Also, you mentioned the humility factor. That's huge because when you are attending church, when you're involved in something outside of your own little world, that leads to, for example, there's all kinds of research, as you know, on volunteering and how people who volunteer and get out of themselves are happier, more adjusted people.
Well, and, you know, Scripture points us in that direction. You know, Galatians, what is it, 6, encourages us to bear one another's burdens. And so in this way, we can fulfill the law of Christ. I mean, literally by picking up and helping somebody else, we can do this by being compassionate, caring to others. And whether it's in a small way, whether it's just helping someone get out of the car to attend Mass, maybe it's in a large way, maybe you start a charity, until you open your mind and heart to that idea. And I think that I've seen, in even in the secular world, I remember Christopher Cross, the singing artist, you know, who does sailing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We were on one of the ships, a music cruise, that actually, with the help of our friends at Corporate Travel, put together. And someone asked him a question, where'd you come up with this song? And he said, you know, everybody thinks it's about sailboats. And he performed it that night on the ship. But he said, you know, what it really is about is I had a friend who's an artist, and I went to visit her at her studio, and she was painting on a large canvas. And I said, how do you do that? And she said, man, I don't know. I just sail away. I get in the flow. And so whether it's getting around people, serving others, I think that's our goal from a secular point of view, in a way, is to get into the flow where time disappears. You don't even know you help people for 2 hours, and you're like, holy cow, I've got to get back home. You know, it's time to go. Those kind of moments where we can just get in the flow and feel more centered vertically with God. If you picture a cross, we're centered with Jesus vertically and horizontally with other people and parish priests and deacons and everybody around us. Then you start to get in this moment of flow where you feel like, man, my health, my mental health, my spiritual health, it all, physical health, it's all lining up. And I just feel like everything is better. I think that's the goal for these kinds of studies here.
Do you think people are starting to wake up to this since COVID even more so, do you think?
I think it's a challenge. Somebody asked me the other day, do I have hope? You know, it had nothing to do with our conversation. Do I have hope that people will return to church? And I thought, wow, that's a whole show by itself and then some, right?
Right.
I think sports in America has replaced some of that idea of gathering. I think busyness has. I think that idea that we could detach from each other, you know, this notion that we're not gathering. But there are so many different maybe it's a good way to look at this as roadmaps. You know, Bishop Robert Barron focuses on beauty of the church and of even cathedrals and churches themselves. This talks about the idea of gathering in a parish as bringing better health to you. So many others, including yourself, speak about different roadmaps. And because we're all wired differently by God, I think we have to find the one off-ramp that becomes appealing to us. So I would just encourage people who hear this, whether it's for themselves or otherwise, especially for someone else in your life. You know, if you just cut and paste and forward it's like, oh, mom's trying to convince me to do something again, you know, to come back to the church. But maybe it needs to be more personal. Maybe you should sit down and share your heart with that person about why you think it's important to gather, or make it a, hey, I can't wait to see you Sunday and I'll meet you at the front doors, not just wait for somebody to show up who never does. So I think if we add this personal twist to it, maybe we'll find success is the wrong word, but maybe we'll find, I guess success in the notion that we can actually bring people back in to the fold, you know?
I think that that personal testimony, that personal outreach is huge. We're going to be airing an interview that I did locally yesterday with a young man. It was on DetroitCatholic.com, who was invited to Mass, and it literally changed his life. And this is a young man who went through prison and abuse and drug addiction. It's an incredible story, but it all started with an invitation, and now he is Catholic, came into the church this Easter. More with Chuck Aitken when we come back. We'll also put a link to this very important article that we're talking about this morning on the connection between church attendance and mental health. Stay tuned.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
Brothers and sisters, we got to tell the truth in this country. For heaven's sakes, I wouldn't want to go to a synagogue and find that they were having a Muslim service. I wouldn't want to go to a mosque and run into a Baptist service. I don't want to go to a Baptist church and find out that they're having Mass. We've got to be honest to ourselves. We've got to be what we are. I'd rather a good old-fashioned, honest agnostic than a phony Christian any day of the week. There are reluctant agnostics. There are atheists who are searching for God, and they may find him. But somebody who says they're doing something in the name of God, in the name of Christ, and God and Christ have nothing to do with it, is violating this commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall not take my name in vain.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Who belongs to the Catholic Church? According to the Catholic Catechism, all men and women are called to the Catholic unity of the people of God. In different ways, they belong or are ordered to belong. The Catholic faithful, other believers in Christ, and all mankind are called by God's grace to salvation. Those who in faith accept all the precepts, sacraments, and all the means of salvation given to the Church and possess the Spirit of Christ are fully incorporated into the society of the Church. One, however, who does not persevere in charity is not saved. He or she remains in the bosom of the Church, in its body, but not in its heart. The Church is joined in many ways to other faiths that call themselves Christian, even though they do not profess the Catholic faith in its entirety or have not preserved unity or communion under the successors of Peter. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Sometimes when you see this kind of information in an article, I think it's very affirming when you see it coming from a secular source, affirming the connection and the importance of God and church and community in our lives. But at the same time, sometimes, Chuck, I have to say, I think of God, although God would never do this. He's like, hey, I've been telling you this for thousands of years. I was channeling my mother there for a minute. But anyway, talking with my friend Chuck Aitken, motivational speaker and also health and wellness coach. And he served in the secular media for many years, over 40 years. And he and I worked closely together. We did actually work at the same station for a while when I was doing news at the radio station and you were the weather person and personality there. So we've known each other for a long time, and it's great to be with you and to have you on and to know that you're getting to be part of the EWTN family. You went down to be on the At Home with Jim and Joy show, and you loved it. Wasn't it a nice place to visit?
A beautiful place to visit, and soon I'll be heading to Zanesville for a Coming Home episode, so that's going to come here in the next month or so.
Yay!
So I'll talk to you more about that when that happens. But yeah, there are a lot of things going on. I'm heading home from Florida shortly, and then I'm off to Appleton, Wisconsin for Legatus visits. I mean, there are a lot of things happening, which is just
praise God. I'm so happy. I'm so excited for you, and I know the Lord is going to use you mightily. And your beautiful wife, Susan, just came into the church over Easter, right?
Yeah, she's a convert, and she's on fire. I mean, you know, we were just on a cruise together with Father Mike Schmidt, and this is my wife is a organizational expert, but she loves notes. I mean, she just loves. So she'll run in the house, and she'll say, you know, I was I was listening to Catechism in a year, and I had to pull over and make notes. And she'll say, what episode are you on? You know, I try to stay current myself on all kinds of things. And I've used this phrase before. I know I've stolen it from somebody. But I bathe in Catholic media. That's why I elevate your show and all that Ave Maria does for people, because it exposes Catholics and non-Catholics alike to so much good stuff. But it's so fun to see her on fire for not only Jesus, but all things about the church. So it's a real blessing in our family's life.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful, and I see you guys, and this is just me. And I remember I told you years ago when we were at that golf outing together that in my heart I felt you were going to be coming back to the church. But I think you two would be great to speak together as a couple about your journey.
Oh, you're sweet. Well, you know, it's 43 years of marriage, so we've got that going for us. So it's
praise God. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Yeah. Hey, listen, so getting back to this article again, talking about, you know, these things that are so basic, and it just reveals the beauty and the truth of the dignity of the human person in terms of what we need. And scripture is very clear about this, about joy. And laughter was also brought up in this article, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think other articles and studies have shown that to be the case as well, that, you know, having some laughter. And isn't it the case that whether it's your priest who starts or uses a little bit of a funny quip or even a joke, or something comes up while you're, seeing people as you walk in or you leave, you're having coffee, this idea of a laugh, and we tend to think, well, they just poo-poo that. That's not something we should really think about. But this process that gathering gives us, the exposure to the potential, at least, for laughter. Maybe not a full joke, but couples that laugh together stay together longer. Other health benefits, you know, can include laughing. Actually, it burns calories.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Laughing improves your sleep. So, I mean, this idea of shared laughter, singing. This is interesting because, you know, Bruce Willis has been in the news a lot with, sadly, this unique form of dementia that he has. Mm-hmm. And what's been helpful from his family caregivers and from others who have talked about people that have suffered with strokes is singing. And so all these things that we tend to mention in little spurts in the world, singing is good for your health. Well, why? It's helping Bruce Willis with his cognitive issues. Stroke survivors benefit from it when they sing. So this is so interesting to me that we hear these things in little places and little corners or little studies that come out, and then I come back to this idea, where can we get some of this exposure? It's when we all attend an event, a Good News Marriage cruise, we attend Mass. That's not in any particular order, but we come in contact with a buddy. I give you a hug. I feel better because I release endorphins when I see you and Dom. I hear somebody crack a joke. I laugh. I feel better. I sing. I participate in worship. I feel better. There's something that goes on, and it's all collected in the same place. And then we're going to say, no, I don't think I want to be in that place. Well, wait a minute. Yeah. If you are, as this article points out, drawing a correlation to mental health issues and your overall wellness and church attendance and how it gets your wellness can improve if you attend a parish, well, come on, give it a chance at least.
And even in the Old Testament, there's a time for everything, right? In Ecclesiastes, if you look at that, a time for dancing, a time for joy, all these different things. And I think about gathering at Mass, gathering before Mass, or you know, gathering maybe even for something as simple as coffee and donuts or whatever it is, these different events. And you think about larger events such as a Good News Cruise, and you mentioned laughter. You think about, for example, our MC, the wonderful Father Joe Krupp, who's from the Diocese of Lansing, who is like a stand-up comic, and people are literally rolling in the aisles because he's so funny, but so orthodox and so faithful.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, is that it's there's a truth with it. In his case, that, you know, when you talk about somebody being, you know, just genuine and authentic, and then they can be serious as a heart attack one moment, and of course they're talking about scripture. He's a priest, for goodness sakes, and then he can still be funny. And it shows you this notion of approaching life in a winsome way has benefits for all of us, because we all walk away saying, you got to keep Father Joe Krupp forever. I mean, it's just like this guy who's just fabulous. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think this idea, there's a time to cry and a time to laugh from Ecclesiastes is important to remember. We have those important moments, and we can still have those in a Mass surrounded by friends and even people we don't know when we're having hardship. That's why we're considered a community. We're supposed to be helping each other.
And I also know that in Ecclesiastes, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's in there, there's a time for dancing. One of my favorite things.
I know it is one of my favorite.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, you know, there's so much fun to be had, and I think that these studies can bog down so many other people. But I am filled with hope. You know, if I look at, again, from a secular point of view, my top five strengths, you know, is analyzed by the Strengths Finder test. A lot of us go through that test for business reasons or, you know, corporate world. And one of my top strengths in my top five is positivity. I'm just always positive. I guess it can have a downside. But for me, I look at hope that if the church is becoming, the church in general, larger church, a remnant, and it's going to be a smaller group of us, I guess that's God's plan. I don't understand it completely, why God has shaken up the snow globe of life, because that can lead to anxiety just by itself. But whatever God's up to doesn't mean I shouldn't participate, doesn't mean I shouldn't help with the Knights of Columbus pancake breakfast or join the Order of Malta or, you know, however you're going to serve, go paint a fence for a neighbor who's, you know, homebound. Whatever it is that's going to happen, we can all do these things and walk away, not because that's what we wanted to do, was to get the pat on the back, but to say, man, that's just, I'm feeling better. I was feeling down for so many weeks, and now I just did one thing, and that's moved me to the next level. Well, praise God. It's just awesome.
Amen. And it sounds a lot like the prayer of St. Francis, right, in terms of, you know, being humble and isn't the dying that we, you know, have eternal life. Chuck, great to catch up with you, my friend. ChuckGatica.com is a website, G-I-D-I-C-A, ChuckGatica.com. And as he mentioned, he is going to be on an upcoming segment of The Journey Home. I'll let you know when that happens, and we'll get you the exclusive so we can cross-promote like we did with the At Home with Jim and Joy shows that were just really, really terrific. Chuck Gatica from the Detroit area, actually originally from Chicago, but worked for many years, some 40 years in the Detroit market, and we're old friends, but we're not old. Well, at least we're young at heart. ChuckGatica.com. Thanks, my friend. We'll talk soon. And another friend, Joan Lewis, is up next on a Wednesday.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John, chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets. All the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
When kids get angry, a lot of parents just want to shut it down. Remember, though, that anger is a natural response to a perceived offense or need. Instead of just shutting down our kids' outbursts, it's better to help them learn to express their anger in ways that are appropriate, proportionate, and productive. Start by acknowledging and empathizing with their anger. Let them know you're happy to listen if they can express themselves appropriately. If they can't, give them some time to cool off, and when they're ready, offer to help them figure out a way to say their piece peacefully. Remember, it's not always wrong to feel angry. As parents, it's our job to help our kids harness the power of their anger for good. You can learn more about helping kids manage anger in our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, or visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
From the archives, this is the wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Do not let your heart be troubled. Is your heart troubled? Well, what about? Well, I have my children are not in the church. We've had tragedy after tragedy in our family. This one is a born loser, never been successful in his life. This one has terrible pain on it. So who knows Jesus? And yet our dear Lord looks at us with great love, as only a friend can, a real friend, and say, don't let your hearts be troubled. And I want you to think of that. He's saying, don't let it. Ah, now, that means you can do something about it, doesn't it, huh? He doesn't say, I'm going to help you not to let your hearts be troubled. No, he said, you don't let it trouble you.
For more about Mother Angelica, visit EWTNRC.com.
Past the hour. Welcome back. It is a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. This program is co-produced, of course, by EWTN and AveMariaRadio.net. Check us out, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. I do want to let you know that tomorrow is EWTN Giving Day. They're celebrating the 101st anniversary of Mother Angelica's birth, and we need your help to continue the great work of this amazing woman. Will you celebrate her legacy and become one of 1,000 new monthly donors? Yes, you can do that. Mother Angelica frequently said, and I love this line, keep us between your gas and electric bill. And she knew that monthly donations would provide sustaining support for the network. So we're asking for 1,000 people to step forward to become new monthly donors and proclaim the beauty, truth, and goodness of the faith every single month. And I think sometimes, and I mention this a lot when we do our drives at Ave Maria Radio, you listen, you love what we do, and it's not that you don't want to help or you don't want to donate, but we kind of just get into our busy modes and, you know, doing, going to work, taking the family to school, whatever we need to do, and we forget that places like EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, the Sunrise Morning Show at Sacred Heart Radio, all these different networks and programs, we survive by your support. So just asking you to check it out, EWTN.com/givingday for more information. And again, that's EWTN.com/givingday. We are having a bit of a problem today getting hold of Joan. Can't get through on her phone. I don't know why, because we've been emailing each other back and forth and are ready to talk about the audience of the Holy Father. But in the meantime, I wanted to give you a heads up on something I'm going to be talking about on Friday, on Fact Check Friday. And I'm going to only have like 9 minutes on Friday. So it's good, I guess, maybe it's a God thing that I have these this time to talk to you. I don't know if you heard the latest in terms of the update with Uri Berliner. He is the editor from NPR. And he is the one, the business editor from NPR, who last week, last Tuesday, dropped this incredibly well-written piece about bias at his network. And this is a man who's a self-described liberal. So it's not as if it's another conservative, not that that wouldn't matter, because that's important too. But I think it really affirms what many, including conservatives, have been saying for decades, including myself. My book, Noise, came out in 2007, and I have a chapter, it was updated in 2012. I have an entire chapter dedicated to media bias and what I experienced and what I saw when I worked in the news business. It's called All the News That's Fit to Twist. And when I wrote it in 2006, came out in 2007, people were starting to talk a lot about media bias. And that was about the same time that Bernie Goldberg, if you remember, the former CBS News correspondent, was starting to come out with his own books. On his first book was Bias. And he was a self-described libertarian. And he was a lot like Uri Berliner, where he was coming out and saying, look, you know, our political persuasions should not be affecting our coverage. And he had in his book case after case after case of left-wing media bias, very, very detailed. And so when Uri Berliner, a top NPR business editor, came out with this essay last week, I thought, oh boy, it must be really, really bad there. Now, I knew it was bad at NPR. I mean, I just knew they always had a really, really strong left-leaning approach. But what he described was just over the top. And he also was smart enough to know, as a journalist with 25 years experience, he's smart enough to know that it probably was going to cost him his job. And sure enough, you may have heard the news, but just within the last couple of days, he received a notice that he was being suspended for a week without pay. Now, what's interesting about this is the managers at NPR, in my humble opinion, are either extremely arrogant or ignorant or both. Do they really think that this is the way to go? And do they really think this is going to help them in terms of their public image and the fact that they are funded in great part by taxpayer dollars? That's why I was so glad to see that Marsha Blackburn and several other congressional reps are actually going to be working. And this has happened before, so I hope they really push this through now. They're going to be trying to get to the bottom of this funding issue and see if they can end the funding. So let me read you this story. Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee is planning, I mentioned this partially in the news, but I only went through half of it because of time, is planning to propose new legislative action that would threaten to cut National Public Radio's federal funding if passed, prompted by the news that it suspended an editor who went viral for exposing the outlet's partisan uniformity in its newsroom. The Tennessee Republican is weighing a variety of legislative options to take on federal funding that goes to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which provides funding to NPR in the form of grants. She is specifically looking to prevent NPR from benefiting from public funds due to what her office characterized as left-wing bias. She goes on to say the mainstream media have become obsessed with doing the left's bidding and taking down strong conservatives, and NPR has led the pack. It makes no sense that the American people are forced to fund a propagandist left-wing outlet that refuses to represent the voices of half the country. NPR should not receive our tax dollars. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for Representative Ronnie Jackson of Texas said he's also trying to advance legislation in the House to defund NPR that he has introduced on multiple occasions, including the current Congress. He's actively seeking more co-sponsors for this bill and is pushing House leadership to consider it in the wake of recent events. Representative Andy Ogles of Tennessee similarly told Fox News Digital in a statement, "I think Congress should exercise oversight of NPR, especially in light of the recent whistleblower's allegations and subsequent suspension. Taxpayers fund NPR, and it should be a source that provides a truly neutral and balanced perspective. That can only be achieved through a politically diverse staff. Otherwise, it's nothing more than a propaganda machine for the Democratic Party." Now, here's the thing. We always say, and it's a quote from Al Cresta, but I use it a lot, we look at everything through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church. Now, if the culture and if the media weren't important in terms of formation, the Church wouldn't spend a lot of time on it. And yet, we have in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, for example, paragraphs 2493 through paragraphs 29 or 2498, all about the proper use of the media. But there's so much more. How about Intermorifica? That whole document is on media and communications, right? And that stems from discussions during Vatican II. And from that came the World Communications Day statements, which are great little nuggets that the popes put out each January on the feast of St. Francis de Sales, a patron of journalists. And then the day is actually celebrated, World Communications Day, in May. And each year they have a different theme. And they're great little nuggets filled with all kinds of information of how to discern the media properly and to make sure you're applying church teaching in all things. This particular paragraph, I think, really is important in light of what's going on at NPR. NPR is a powerful media outlet. And I shared a little bit of what Uri Berliner said in the interview he did with Barry Weiss, a former editor at the New York Times, in terms of not only are they major in terms of considered part of the legacy media, but they are considered a public institution because they are funded by the people. Okay? And so if anyone is supposed to have a diverse audience and represent America and its uniqueness in terms of so many different opinions and different people, it should be. And it should be all media because they're supposed to reflect their audience, but especially NPR. And they're not doing that. And this new CEO is so liberal, Catherine Maher, and we'll talk more about this on Friday, that she even called out Hillary Clinton during the 2016 election because she didn't think Hillary was approaching the transgender issue properly with the language she was using. So even Hillary Clinton was not liberal enough for this CEO, this new CEO of NPR. And not only that, I happened to find a TED Talk of Catherine Maher's where she was talking all about diversity and inclusion. Now, she's a former head of one of the Wikipedia outlets in terms of a position. I forget exactly what her title was. But she does this 15-minute TED Talk all about the importance of productive friction and diversity and humility. And when you make a mistake, you have to be... What? It's just the opposite of what they're doing in NPR and what she's been doing for years in terms of her own political advocacy, very public about it on social media. And so how can you sit there and talk about diversity and then suspend this very, very experienced editor, an award-winning editor, for speaking up and being diverse and trying to get you to do exactly what you say you do? But this is super important for us as Catholics. Church teaching is very, very specific about embracing media and using it wisely. Paragraph 2496 from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The means of social communication, especially the mass media, can give rise to a certain passivity among users, making them less than vigilant consumers of what is said or shown. Users should practice moderation and discipline in their approach to the mass media. They will want to form enlightened and correct consciences the more easily to resist unwholesome influences. Doug Keck and I were talking about this a little bit last Friday during our Inside Word segment, actually, that we do every Friday at 15 minutes past the hour, where Doug gives us an update on great programming. And that too many of us still are in the habit of doing what our parents and grandparents did, thinking that the legacy media are still honest and don't have an agenda, thinking it's the days of Walter Cronkite on CBS News, or Christopher Glenn, who used to do this thing on Saturday morning that I used to love, In the News with Christopher Glenn. It's not that way anymore. Hasn't been for a long, long time. And we're allowing still many of these outlets, these legacy outlets, to form us, as the Catechism is saying here. And it's so interesting, and I tend to look at this as a positive, even though it's shocking, the examples that this editor gives in his own newsroom, what he saw over the years, and how he tried to bring it up time and time and time again. He had, I think, 3 meetings with the former CEO that were scheduled, rescheduled, canceled, never got around to actually meeting with him, and then the man retired. Within modern society, the communications media play a major role in information, cultural promotion, and formation. That role is increasing, the Catechism says, as a result of technological progress, the extent and diversity of the news transmitted, and the influence exercised on public opinion. Really important for us not to just think, oh, it's another biased media outlet, big deal. I think, as Chuck said earlier, Chuck Gatica, I tend to look at the glasses half full. As shocking and as terrible as it is in terms of what was going on in this public institution funded by you and me, I see it as a positive. I see it as a half glass, the glass half full indeed, because it's being exposed. And so they cannot hide behind, oh, that's just some conservative right-wing nut job saying this or that about us. Here they go again. This woman who's now running this network, NPR, was extremely outspoken about her extreme leftist views on social media and elsewhere. And then she stands up in a TED talk and claims that she's all about diversity and how great it is when we have diverse opinions and when we're in conflict with each other, because we can debate and learn how to debate more effectively. And then she does just the opposite on social media and in her work. If she were really smart, she would say, gee, really, thanks for this. We're going to look at this. But what do? They go right into the defense mode, and then they suspend the man for a week, making us think that, oh, it's because he broke his contract. Really? We were born, but not yesterday. So this is not just another media bias story, brothers and sisters. This is an example of how the media are getting it wrong time and time again, and how we have to be so responsible when we consume the media. The Catechism and the church teaching are very clear. And thank the good Lord, we have outlets like EWTN. We'll be right back.
Another great podcast on EWTN Podcast Central is the Magnificat Podcast. It brings you testimonies of Catholic women from all walks of life. As you listen to their stories, we encourage you to pray, learn, and experience what God can do in our lives, if we let Him. You can hear the Magnificat Podcast and other faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates around the world, all in one place, all free, at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTN.com/radio and click on Podcast Central today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
As I said, technology is great when it works. We had some problems with the phone with Joni, which happens on occasion. It's live radio, but we'll catch up with her again very soon. Coming up tomorrow, Father Mitch Pacwa from, of course, EWTN and his many programs, his books, and his, of course, scripture knowledge. We're going to talk about the developing situation in the Middle East and get his take on it, as he is very knowledgeable in that area, spending a great deal of time there. And then we'll have a beautiful testimony of a young man that made a total turnaround after a personal invitation to go to Mass. Adomane, talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.